It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real?
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right. Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. 4 o'clock here in the Pacific Time Zone. I'm Radical Russ, and it's time for Toker Talk Radio, where Tokers get together and talk about whatever it is we want to talk about. It might be sports, it might be politics, it might be culture, and it'll always have something to do with weed. At least tangentially. So over these past couple of weeks, I've gotten hyper-political, ultra-hyper-uber-political, hearkening back to my days in the last part of the George W. Bush administration when I had a political talk radio show on XM Satellite. Got to speak with Peter Ogburn, who was the engineer out there in Washington, D.C. when I started my talk radio career, and it just got me, it put me back into that flow, man, that exciting feeling of discussing politics on the radio. And so over the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and the election and what's going on. And some of you gotten sick of it, I know. Some of you are kind of upset at me changing my Bernie or bus stand, and I understand that. And we're going to keep talking about that, but maybe not so much today, because today I kind of had an epiphany. Well, for one, I started reading some of the polling that's coming out lately that shows Hillary Clinton going back up against Donald Trump, that he's starting to kind of crater. And part of that has been, and of the most unlikely of sources, one of the things that was amazing about the Democratic convention that last week is how the Democrats became the party of patriotism and the military and flag waving and America humping. I mean, it was all red, white, and blue and USA, USA, USA. And it culminated in that fantastic address by Khazir Khan, the father of the U.S. captain, military captain who died in Afghanistan. And you know, I can disagree with the war itself and why we're in there and that we shouldn't be and what we've done wrong. But I never short the people that are fighting in the war that just sign up to serve our country. And so that speech by Khan, you know, captured America's hearts, and just, it was amazing. And in his response to it, Donald Trump could have gone the route of talking about it's a bad war, we shouldn't have been in that war, but he didn't. He went right to the personal attack on the guy's wife for being a Muslim woman, and maybe she's not allowed to talk. And for the past 5 days, this story has just eaten up the news cycle, because every time he tries to respond to it, he digs deeper. He gets worse and worse and worse. He's a guy for the Muslim Brotherhood, blah, blah, blah. It's just terrible. And so that's why I'm feeling a little less hyper uber political today, a little less riled up, because I kind of had the epiphany that we're still about 92, 97 days away from the election. We're still 4 months out. And Donald Trump has to talk and, you know, make appearances throughout that whole time and appear in 3 debates. And I think over that time, when there's no other distractions of Donald Trump playing in the reality show contest against the other members of the GOP clown car, where there's 11 of them on stage, and it's all just who can insult who the best. When it gets down to just him and her on the debate stage, and again, that's assuming Gary Johnson doesn't make the debate stage. But if it comes down to just the two of them on the debate stage and people have to make an honest side-to-side comparison, it's only going to get worse and worse for Donald Trump. I think he's got a ceiling of about 40% of the vote he can get. And it can drop a whole lot from now till then. Hell, the big story today is how he kicked a baby out of his political rally. He's not kissing baby, he's kicking him out. All right, when we come back, more on Duterte in the Philippines.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world.
We're just not sure about France.
CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
My guests say Razzie Berry. We're talking about nature, naturopathic medicine, as well as the concept of prevention and preventing disease.
Empower people to live a naturopathic lifestyle. Get to know your body, understand its rhythms, remove toxins, and use natural alternatives whenever possible. 90 to 95% of cancers are due to environment and lifestyle risk factors. I mean, that's a huge number. That means that cancer is preventable.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Nine after the hour, and let me give you an update on what's going on in the Philippines with their president, Rodrigo Duterte. Right now, UN aid groups, NGOs, other civil society groups, 300 different groups led by Human Rights Watch and others, have signed a letter to the International Narcotics Control Board of the UN, the part of the organization that handles the drug issue, on condemning the brutal killings that are taking place under President Duterte. He won the election, and during campaigning, he said that he would lead a fight against crime, particularly drug dealers and drug addicts, and vowed that within the first 6 months of his administration, he would fill Manila Bay with the bodies of 100,000 criminals, that the bay would be so full of bodies that the fish would grow fat feeding on them. Yeah, this guy campaigned on that and won the election. Now, how do you manage to win the election? Are Philippines that crazy that a majority of them would support such an obvious lunatic, sociopathic madman to become their president? No. But in a chilling scenario that ought to give anyone in the United States pause, Rodrigo Duterte won the election with 39% of the vote because those who opposed him could not coalesce on one opponent to defeat him. Now, it's an apples to oranges comparison in that the Philippines is a parliamentary democracy where members of third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh parties can gain representation in the parliament. So there is a situation where two of Rodrigo Duterte's leading opponents were leaders of two other parties. So it's not quite the same as what we've got here in the United States. But both of those people that finished second, had their votes been combined, they would have beaten Duterte. So because 39% of the country wanted this madman who pledged to kill 100,000 people, he's president now. On his inauguration day, he told the people of the Philippines, quote, "If you know of any addicts, go ahead and kill them yourself, as getting their parents to do it would be too painful," end quote. This is a president who on his very first day calls for vigilante executions of drug users. At least 704 people are already dead in the first 3 months. He has vowed to give pardons, presidential pardons, to any of the police or citizens, vigilantes, who are brought up on charges, be they murder or war crimes or anything like that, human rights. He'll pardon them. He has vowed to pardon himself for the same thing and vowed that if the Philippine parliament tries to impeach him, he will just shut down parliament. We have cases where the cops are finding people in the streets, their bodies wrapped with signs by them that say, "I am a pusher," killed by vigilantes or cops. People killed by gunmen on motorcycles, drive-bys. One woman talks about how her husband had been killed. 29-year-old man was a pedicab driver doing odd jobs to make a living. And in a most tragic and cruel irony, he even voted for Duterte. He was killed by one of these vigilante groups. This is what you get when you get a violent, psychopathic dictator type running a country who promises to do horrendous things. It leads the country to follow him. It leads the worst elements of that country to follow in his footsteps and to obey his commands. Now, in the Philippines, about 89% of the drug seizures are methamphetamine. About 9% are cannabis. He's reintroduced the death penalty by hanging. He's offering bounties for the bodies of drug dealers. And not only that, this is the kind of guy who, like Donald Trump, can't help his mouth. When he won the election, Duterte launched an attack against the UN saying, quote, "Fuck you, UN. You can't even solve the Middle East carnage. Couldn't even lift a finger in Africa with the butchering of the black people. Shut up, all of you," end quote, when the UN called him out on these things. That's what's going on in the Philippines right now. And again, the Philippines is the oldest democracy in Southeast Asia. And Southeast Asia has not been a very friendly place for democracies. So to have this situation going down in the Philippines with the open acceptance of vigilante justice and police executions in the streets that was enabled by a democratic vote should run chills down the spine of anybody who is currently watching the U.S. election process. Some people will say that this is fear-mongering. Oh, come on now. Trump's not calling for people to go round up people in the streets and kill them. Is he? Isn't he? We've seen numerous reports of violence at Trump's rallies. We've seen him encourage such behavior, talking about how back in my day, they'd have left him, they'd have taken him out on a stretcher. We've seen the reports of racists and bigots who beat Muslims or beat suspected Mexican immigrants and talk about how Trump is right. Trump is right. You can call it fear-mongering. You can call it capitulation. You can call it settling for the lesser of two evils. You can give it any label you want to give it. But the sad fact exists that we are staring at the possibility of legitimizing a misogynist, a racist, a xenophobe, an Islamophobe, a bully. We're in danger of giving that the highest respect and honor possible in the United States. Now, I know I get people that will come back and say, yeah, but we're not putting a warmonger. We're not putting a liar. We're not putting a cheater who stole the Democratic primary. We're not. Nah, nah, nah. And here's where this gets interesting. Because I don't disagree with all of the complaints about Hillary Clinton. I don't disagree at all. I think she's untrustworthy. I think she's way too prone to lying. I think she's way too enamored of neoliberal foreign policy, empire building, American exceptionalism, drone strikes, security in government, lack of transparency, coziness with Wall Street. I'm on board. I wrote all the pieces, man. I made the lists. I do not have any illusions about who I am putting into the White House. But in all of those respects, everything I can think of that's bad about Hillary Clinton is just as bad or worse about Donald Trump. Oh, well, Donald Trump doesn't have blood on his hands. He's never ordered a war. He didn't vote for Bush's Iraq war, blah, 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 blah. That's true. You can say all sorts of things about Hillary and Iraq and Libya and Syria and all that. But at no point can you think that Hillary Clinton is clueless, right? You could say that she's got her own agenda, she's bought and sold, she's owned, whatever it might be, but you can't say she's clueless and erratic. In fact, she is the opposite of erratic. She overthinks some things. She's too beholden to trying to figure out what the polls are going to say and what it does for her political career. That's the opposite of erratic. With Donald Trump, you don't know what we're going to get. And I'm really becoming concerned about these ties he's got with Russian oligarchs and Putin's government. And no, the fact that the Russians hacked the DNC doesn't take the DNC off the hook for rigging an election. But it does open up the question of, wait a minute, do we have a foreign government meddling in our electoral process at this point? And is that being suborned by one of the major Democratic or one of the major presidential candidates against his Democratic opponent? Basically, what we saw here and what we're seeing in what are now to be more leaks and break-ins at the DCCC is Watergate level shit.
Is this some kind of bust?
Yes, it's very impressive, but we'd just like to ask a few questions.
Well, that sound means that it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety break. Clouds have come out here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. Just enjoy this Tuesday. When we come back, consider Attorney General Christie and Drug Czar Sabet.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Yar, there be pirates here. Har, 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 har,
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour. As we continue to look at the election 2016 from a marijuana consumer's point of view, we find ourselves evaluating the end of the Democratic and Republican conventions that have recently concluded. And Americans have less than 100 days to decide who to vote for to become president. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Gary Johnson, or Jill Stein. And for once, the choice of the marijuana voter is made more difficult by the fact that none of the candidates is supportive of maintaining absolute marijuana prohibition. Trump and Clinton are hovering in that, you know, states' rights, laboratories of democracy limbo, where they explicitly say they would allow the legal and medical programs in the states to continue, and implicitly mean that they aren't going to open the floodgates on federal legalization anytime soon. Johnson and Stein are much better, offering a vision of ending federal prohibition and enabling further legalization at the state level. They both, however, suffer from the electoral structure of our Constitution that makes their winning the Oval Office less likely than Peter Dinklage winning American Ninja Warrior. Sometimes in these situations, it's just better to figure out who you absolutely don't want to win. And in this particular situation, that person is Donald Trump. While Donald Trump has recently said he's fine with state-level legalization and medical marijuana, he's also recently said, quote, "In this race for the White House, I am the law and order candidate," end quote. Sound familiar? Here's another quote. "I pledge to you that the new attorney general will open a new front against the filth peddlers and the narcotics peddlers who are corrupting the lives of the children of this country," said the 1968 Republican nominee for president. And to those who say that law and order is the code word for racism, there and here is one reply. Our goal is justice for every American. End quote. And once elected, law and order Richard Nixon launched the war on drugs as a method to infiltrate and decimate his enemies on the political left and within the civil rights movement. Trump has also kept by his side the odious governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. You may remember him on the campaign trail saying, quote, "If you're getting high in Colorado today, enjoy it, because as of January 2017, I will enforce the federal laws," end quote. Rumor has it that Trump may select Christie as his attorney general. Christie is also on Trump's transition team that will select the secretaries of various cabinet positions, heads of various departments and bureaus, and judges to fill positions on federal district courts, appeals courts, and at least one vacancy on the Supreme Court. Now, you may recall that back in the 2008 presidential race, Barack Obama said, quote, "I would not have the Justice Department prosecuting and raiding medical marijuana users. It's not a good use of our resources," end quote. Yet, it was Barack Obama's Department of Justice that orchestrated more raids against medical marijuana providers than his predecessor, George W. Bush. That's because people at DEA and a few U.S. attorneys' offices still believed in enforcing federal laws. In his second term, Obama shifted to believing, quote, "It does not make sense from a prioritization point of view for us to focus on recreational drug users in a state that has already said that under state law, that's legal," end quote. Yet, Assistant U.S. Attorney Earl Hicks prosecuted the Kettle Falls Five, state legal medical marijuana patients growing cannabis in a state where recreational use had been made legal. So that's what we got from the Department of Justice underlings with a president who has actually smoked pot in his lifetime and says the feds should butt out of state marijuana issues. That's what we got with an attorney general's office that has issued memoranda stating that targeting state legal marijuana operations should not be a priority. Imagine what we'd get under a Trump presidency. A guy who doesn't even drink, much less toke. And an attorney general, Chris Christie, a guy who viscerally loathes pot smokers. Who do you think Christie will suggest for heads of FinCEN and FDIC that will decide cannabis banking regulations? Or FDA and NIDA that will handle applications for research on cannabis? Or EPA and the Department of Agriculture that will set standards for cannabis pesticides and hemp seed importation? Or CDC and NIH that will evaluate the results of legalization on public health? Or NHTSA that will make cannabis and driving recommendations? Or the U.S. Parole Commission that will decide which decades-long pot prisoners get released? Imagine the new head of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, Drug Czar Kevin Sabet. Then, wrap your mind around the fact that under President Obama, Republicans in Congress have blocked so many of his judicial nominations that there stands empty 71 seats on the federal district courts, 9 seats on the courts of appeals, and of course 1 seat on the Supreme Court. Then consider that the 5-4 conservative Supreme Court Trump sets could easily become a 7-2 court, since 3 justices will be in their 80s during Trump's first term. That's the court that would hear the ultimate appeals for cases on the religious use of ganja, the medical use of cannabis, and whether or not states like Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma can overturn Colorado's recreational legalization. So, if you're in one of the so-called red or blue states, the states that Trump or Clinton are guaranteed to win, like California for Clinton or Texas for Trump, then maybe you could vote for Johnson or Stein to make a protest vote for someone who supports outright legalization. But if you're in one of the 10 so-called swing states that could go either way and upon which this election will be decided, and those 10 states would be Nevada, Colorado, Iowa, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania? You should really think long and hard about voting for Hillary Clinton to stop Donald Trump. I can't believe that it's even a question anymore. I've got people that say Gary Johnson's not a protest vote. He could actually win. I just want to see how that's mapped out. I want to see the realistic way over the next 4 months. Map it out for me. Show me how that happens. Show me how Gary, because look, if anything, I have proved that I am amenable to reason. I will evaluate your arguments, and if I find new evidence or a new convincing argument, I can change my mind. Because right now, we can't have Donald Trump as a president. And right now, the only viable way I see of defeating Donald Trump is if Hillary Clinton gets more votes than he does. Now, if you can show me how Gary Johnson can win the election, if you can show me that, and that it's a likelihood of it occurring, that's a greater likelihood of the path by which Hillary Clinton wins the election, I am all for it, and I would switch my position again. But I tried to make that argument. Because I wanted to believe that. I wanted to make that argument. I researched as hard as I could. I came up with every electoral scenario I could imagine. And it's just not going to happen. Right now, the first hurdle Gary Johnson has to clear is to get 15% in 5 national polls to make the debates. Can we concede that he's not going to win the election unless he makes the debates? That he does not have the national recognition, the airtime, or the funding to make anything but the smallest of splashes unless he makes the debates? Because if you can't even concede that, you're not even in the same ballpark of reality to begin this discussion. So let's say, all right, Gary Johnson has to make the debates. Once he gets in the debates, by a miracle, he gets in the debates, he makes the debates, everybody will hear him, they'll think he's so awesome, and they'll all want to vote for him. Well, let's take a look at what hurdle it takes to get in the debates in the first place. Gary Johnson, now, right now, there's a thing called the Presidential Debate Commission. The debates used to be run by the League of Women Voters. And back in the day when the League of Women Voters ran it, it was awesome. They'd have third parties in there. They were great. More voices, the better. And by the way, as I make this discussion about the debates, understand that I would like to see Gary Johnson in the debates. I'm all for more voices. I think that's great. It just ain't going to happen. Because since 1988, the Presidential Debate Commission, which is this corporation run by the Democrats and the Republicans combined, sets the terms for the debates. And one of the terms they set, well, at first, they didn't have terms. At first, they would decide and just be the Democrat and the Republican, except in 1992, when the Presidential Debate Commissions allowed Ross Perot to be in the debates. And the only reason that happened is because George W. Bush thought, hey, if we let Perot in the debates, it'll take votes from Clinton. And Clinton thought, hey, if we let Perot in the debates, it'll take votes away from Bush. So both sides thought they had something to gain from letting Perot in there. And of course, Clinton was right. Perot took more votes from Bush. So we'd need that kind of dynamic. That could be one way to get Gary in the debates, is if the Democrats and the Republicans both believe that if Hillary believed, hey, if we get Gary in, it'll take votes from Trump. And if Trump believed, hey, if we let Gary in, it'll take votes from Hillary. That's plausible. I'll give you that. We're going to play benefit of the doubt like crazy on this discussion. I'll give you that. That's a possibility. But since that Perot thing, new rules got established that said that you had to top 15% in 5 national polls to make the debates. Gary Johnson right now in the Real Clear Politics average is sitting around 7.3. the more the Jill Stein movement keeps gaining steam, the more of the potential libertarian-leaning liberal votes he could get go off. So already there's a splitting going on of Gary Johnson's possible support by some of them moving on to Jill Stein. So already he's up against that. But even granting that, he still needs to get 15% in 5 polls. Now, a lot of these polls don't bother asking. They don't bother putting Gary Johnson and Jill Stein's names in. And that's unfair. And they do it to try to protect the Republicans and the Democrats. And tough titty, what are you going to do about it? So already Gary Johnson faces a massive hurdle in just trying to get to the debates, okay? So let's say he does, though. Gary Johnson gets to the debates, gets to all 3 of them. And while he's there in all 3 debates, he has an amazing, stellar performance. He doesn't come off as goofy or unserious. He has a stellar performance as a stark contrast to Clinton and Trump, provides a new third way for people to vote. Let's pretend that happens. Again, we're going to play way benefit of the doubt here. Okay, so Gary Johnson does great in the debates. How does he do from doing great in the debates to winning 270 electoral votes? Because that's really what the name of the game is here, folks, getting 270 electoral votes. Now, you can get 270 electoral votes from as few as 11 states. If you got the 11 biggest states to vote for you, you could get 270 electoral votes. So if Trump can take what's a 14-point Clinton lead in California and turn that into a win for him, Johnson, if he could get a Clinton lead and turn that into a win for him, could get 55 electoral votes out of California. He'd get 38 out of Texas if he could take what's a 20-point Trump lead and turn it into a Johnson win. Okay, so there's 2 states. Now repeat that process. Go through the electoral map. Find all the states where Johnson can take enough of the vote from both Clinton and Trump to be able to become the winner in that state and do it in enough states that equal 270 electoral votes. That's your homework assignment. Show me how that, write that out for me, send it to me. If you can show me a plausible way that happens, I'll get behind it. Because I tried. Oh, God, I tried. I so tried so hard. The only place I could find where Gary Johnson had even a slim glimmer of hope of getting an electoral vote was Nevada. Utah. It was Utah. Slim glimmer of hope. Because there he's polling in a statistical tie with Clinton and Trump in one poll. He was third place still, but he was within striking distance. And Utah is the kind of place with its 70% Mormon population where you could understand why they'd be reticent to vote for Donald Trump and why they could never vote for Hillary Clinton and why then they might be tempted to vote for a Gary Johnson. One state, 6 electoral votes. That's the one I could find. I started thinking, as I was doing this, trying to build this argument, well, let's look at some of the libertarian-leaning kind of states, like Idaho. Like my home state, Idaho, is very libertarian. And then I go there and find it's like one of the most solid Trump states there are. So we've got to have this belief that Johnson could attract enough Republican voters in a place like Idaho to tip it from Trump to him. Now, you could make the case that Donald Trump is such a lousy candidate and so prone to gaffes that over the next 4 months, he is such a shitbag and Gary Johnson did so stellar in 3 debates that maybe a lot of Republicans would jump ship. Maybe if some of the Republican leadership starts heeding President Obama's advice and rescinding their endorsements of Donald Trump. Maybe there's a groundswell within Republicans of making the switch. But you still have to do that in enough states to get 270 electoral votes. even with mainstream, well-known, party-funded Republicans in 2008 and 2012 in John McCain, a war hero, and Mitt Romney, a billionaire. Even in that, a successful billionaire, we should say, who doesn't rip people off. Even in those elections, those guys couldn't amass 270 electoral votes with all of the resources at the Republican Party's disposal. And we're supposed to expect that Gary Johnson's going to go to three debates and speak so well that he's going to flip enough Republican states to get the votes, to get the electoral votes that the last Republican candidate got, and flip enough of the Democratic states too to get that 270. That's going to magically happen. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. Because as I got to, this is what really tipped me in making my change, in making my thought process change, was how could I defend voting for I-502 in Washington State, but not vote for Hillary Clinton in the election? I began to see how my thinking was becoming way too magical. So when we come back, I'm going to outline. I'm going to outline the seven different flaws of magical thinking between true legalizers and true progressives.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development, and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Mention the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on CannabisRadio.com. And don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well, but words are my shit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I beat China all the time.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Hello, Mr. Man.
Hi.
I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. Sorry for the delay. Had to get a couple of things typed up there. So I want to close this part of the show with my observations on the similar lines of magical thinking that we're finding as we continue this election. Because first of all, Hillary Clinton does have a purity problem. She had the primary battle with Bernie Sanders, and it awoke a significant segment of the progressive voters who are usually turned off by the party politics. Bernie Sanders identified a rigged system, a system rigged against the common people, and identified Hillary Clinton as the master beneficiary of that rigged system. When the WikiLeaks release of DNC emails confirmed the suspicions of Sanders supporters that the system was indeed rigged, some of those progressive voters declared that enough was enough, and they are refusing to vote for Hillary Clinton in the general election. Now, according to the latest CNN poll, when given a heads-up choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, about 90% of Sanders supporters choose Hillary Clinton. But when that polling is expanded to include the third-party candidates like Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, Hillary Clinton loses about another 20% of those supporters. So, how could someone who espouses the progressive ideals Bernie Sanders' campaign was built upon cast their vote in such a way to enable Donald Trump to win the White House? Why would these true progressives usher in at least 4 years of pushing the country away from the achievement of progressive goals? Now, if you're flummoxed by this phenomenon, you're not alone. I was in that true progressive camp from February through June. I was mad as hell that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was rigging the primary process in favor of Hillary Clinton. I was convinced that the only right thing to do was to punish the DNC and Hillary Clinton by not rewarding her and them with my vote. I would not sign on to such chicanery, shenanigans, subterfuge, sabotage, and just plain evil. And then I realized I was engaged in the same kind of magical thinking that I get in the fight to legalize marijuana. For the past 10 years, I've been reporting on the states that propose and pass medical marijuana and recreational legalization initiatives and laws. In every election since 2010, there have been one or more states in which at least two campaigns emerge to legalize marijuana. One campaign usually emerges that is backed by the national marijuana reform organizations, funded by billionaires, and proposes legalization in a moderate, carefully controlled manner. These measures hire professional signature gatherers and campaign staff, they make the ballot, and most of them win. You could call these establishment legalizers. The other campaigns that emerge are backed by local grassroots activists, desperately scrambling to raise funds, proposing legalization in a more radical, wide-open manner. These measures rely on volunteer signature gatherers and amateur campaigns. They rarely make the ballot, and they never win. You could call these ones the true legalizers. After they fail to place their initiative on the ballot, the true legalizers then find unacceptable faults in the initiative that the establishment legalizers successfully place on the ballot. Despite the fact that the establishment legalizers are proposing something that moves the state away from total marijuana prohibition, true legalizers fight against it because it's just not good enough, helping the opponents of legalization in their efforts to defeat the initiative. This happened in 2010 in California, when supporters of a failed true legalization initiative fought against Prop 19, the establishment legalization. In Washington in 2012, there was a very visible No on I-502 campaign with many supporters of a more progressive failed initiative backing it. Now in 2016, proponents of failed measures in California, Arizona, and Massachusetts are rebelling against the legalization initiatives there. What is it that makes true legalizers and true progressives fight against their own self-interest? Well, here are some of the magical thinking arguments that are similar between the true legalizers and the true progressives. The first ones I call if-onlys. If only, if only. These are the forecasts that are predicated on scenarios that ignore mathematical probability and historical precedent. From true legalizers, it comes in the form of, well, If only all our Facebook followers and our volunteer signature gatherers collected and turned in 10 signature sheets each, we'd easily make the ballot. In the form of true progressives, it's, if only everybody who hates Clinton and Trump votes third party, that third party would win the election. If only. Another magical thought is the magic bullets. These are the beliefs that a single transformative moment changes everything completely. We don't need to pay attention to the past or history or math or anything like that, because this is completely different. And there'll be this fantastic thing that happens that changes everything. With true legalizers, it comes in the form of, well, when the people finally read our true legalization, they'll see that it's superior and they'll reject the establishment legalization. From the true progressives, it's the form of, well, when they finally see the third party in the debates, they'll see that they're superior and everybody will reject the establishment candidates. Then there are the pies in the sky. These are the arguments that are long on lofty and grandiose ideals, but short on the concrete details that form an actual plan. From true legalizers, it comes in the form of, well, once we make the ballot, enough donations will then flow in that we can advertise for our campaign. The true progressives, they're the ones that'll say, well, once the third party makes the debates, enough states will flip that they'll get 270 electoral votes. It'll just happen. Then there's the ones that say, well, it'll be better next time. Why rush? It'll be better next time. This is the willingness to not stop bad things now, because there's a better solution around the corner. From the true legalizers, it's, well, we've got to defeat California's Prop 64, you know, let prohibition continue, and in 2018, then we'll get true legalization on the ballot. From the true progressives, it's, well, you know, we might have to suffer for 4 years of Donald Trump, you know, reverse progressive momentum, but then in 2020, the Democrats will learn their lesson and we'll put a true progressive in the Oval Office. It'll be better next time. Then there are the purity paladins. These are the people who show adherence to one or more ideological principles and ignore the overall greater good being proposed. From the true legalizers, it's, well, I could never vote for Washington's I-502 because it's a per se DUID and no home grow, even though it does legalize marijuana in pot shops. From true progressives, it's, well, I could never vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a liar and a warmonger, even though she is progressive on domestic issues. Then you got the anarchic types, the fuck the system people. They got the fuck the system people. This is the visceral hatred of the corrupt insider-run pay-to-play process and the desire to punish it and send it a message. From the true legalizers, this is, well, we'll show that California billionaire Sean Parker. We'll show him what happens to his legalization plan when he ignores the grassroots. From the true progressives, it's more like, well, we'll show that Hillary Clinton what happens when she and the DNC rig the primaries. We'll show her. And then there's the famous I got's mine. This is the one where you argue from a position of privilege that insulates you from the worst outcomes of defeating the greater good that's proposed. From the true legalizers, it's the one that, well, Californians who don't want possession tickets and grow felonies should just get a medical marijuana card like me. And they should have supported true legalization that we all would have voted for. From the true progressives, it's more like, well, blacks, gays, women, Muslims, and immigrants who don't want a bigot in the White House should just ride out the next 4 years like me. And they shouldn't have supported the true progressive. They should have supported the true progressive we could have all gotten behind. Then there's the cartoon villain thinking. Cartoon villain thinking is when the opponent is evil and full of terrible agenda. You know, from the true legalizers, it's, well, Richard Lee or Sean Parker or whoever. They obviously, they're putting this legalization together just to benefit themselves. It's all bought off. It's all corrupt in the inside. It's all, they didn't count on us. And they're just doing it to enrich themselves. And of course, on the true progressive side, it's Hillary Clinton is evil and a liar and she's a killer and she's mass murdered people and gotten away with it and stolen and rigged an election and gotten away with it. And somehow she's done all these nefarious things over 25 years and gotten away with every single one of them after massive multi-million dollar investigations. Cartoon villain. And cartoon villain is kind of in the same ballpark as the conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory one where this is all rigged from the beginning. Nobody had any input on it. From the true legalizers, this is the, well, they never asked us. They never took input from the public. It was all closed and secret. And they made deals with the politicians. And they're giving money to law enforcement. And they're doing all these terrible things to try to find ways to bust pot smokers more and to corral the market for the big marijuana companies. And for the true progressive side, it's all controlled by Wall Street and the 1%. And they're all putting just two candidates in front of us. And they purposefully picked Donald Trump so that we'd have to vote for Hillary Clinton because she's so awful. They purposefully did that. They purposely somehow made 13 million Republicans choose that guy. Yeah, it was all the Democrats. They figured out how to get 13 million Republicans to vote a certain way in a primary. So, folks, I've never in my life had the opportunity to vote for a presidential candidate or a marijuana legalization initiative that was fully up to my standards. Never. I've never had the choice of a perfect candidate. But reality dictates that when you're in the voting booth, you can vote to get some of what you want, or you can vote to get a lot of what you don't want. Complaining about rigged systems and choices of lesser of two evils is pointless. After the vote, either legalization wins and Hillary Clinton is president, or prohibition wins and Donald Trump is president. Either you choose to move the country incrementally forward on the case of progressivism and marijuana legalization, or you choose to move the country backward. Your magical thinking might soothe your conscience, but it doesn't alter reality. All right, folks, that's all the time we got in hour two here. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, thanks for joining us. And remember, this weekend we'll be here in Portland, Oregon at the Expo Center for the Indo Expo, one of the largest events of the year. We'll be streaming live and bringing you highlights from our huge lounge booth. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.